He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
All right, all my Slick Talkers, I have a special surprise for you guys. Super thankful for all the support and everyone tuning in. I've been doing about 3 episodes a week now just because I'm so booked out on the show, which is always a good thing. So thank you guys for making this possible. I want to treat you guys with something. So I created a little virtual event. It's a Q&A happy hour with me, and I will be inviting some of the past Slick Talk guests. So go ahead and follow the Instagram and Facebook pages for the podcast. In the show notes of this episode and future episodes, I will be putting the link for you to register for the Q&A. It's free, and the first 10 people that sign up today, and whenever you hear this, go sign up now. The first 10 people I'm watching, I will buy your drink, whether it's a coffee, a wine, or a beer. I will buy the first 10 people that register today. So go ahead, check out the show notes, click the link that is the Q&A happy hour, and then once you do that, register for the event. It's free, and first 10 people, I will pay for your drink. So go ahead, sign up. I can't wait to meet you guys and for just to be able to talk about hospitality and podcasting and get to know you on a little bit of a deeper level. I figured, you know, 2020 is the year to do this. And so thank you guys and the first 10 people I'm watching. So grab your drinks. Let's go.
You know, of course, ecologies are incredibly sensitive and dynamic and, you know, varied and diverse and all these types of things. Everything needs to work together in this beautiful harmony to continue to exist in harmony, right? And so I think that story isn't known by everybody. I think they feel like nature is incredibly robust and indestructible. But when you get down into the details, you understand the relationships between all those organisms in that forest, in that habitat. You realize how precious it is. And so, you know, that experience, that knowledge is going to hopefully change your value of the environment and how you treat it. And realize that, yeah, if you pollute it, just a couple, it's your package that you throw on the ground, or if you choose to drink that water bottle, that's going to end up in that natural environment. It's going to affect it in some way. So I think it's through experiences like glamping, that can hopefully, change the minds and the hearts of people, to put more, of themselves behind solutions that we already have to solve a lot of these problems.
Welcome to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast where we discuss all things hospitality, hotels, and business. You can find us online at slicktalkthepodcast.com and on every podcast listening platform.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and today is a really cool guest that I get to introduce, as they're all very cool. This one's a little unique. I get to geek out. We get to talk a little bit of Star Wars probably at the end of it. this is an awesome guest named Dustin. He's the CEO and creator of O2 Treehouse, which is also growing and branding out to a franchise model of tree walkers. So vacation rental, tree houses, woods, exciting things. What is up, Dustin? How are you doing today, my man?
Very good, very good. I'm super happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to record with me. You and I have been talking a little bit behind the scenes about a couple other things, and it's just cool to be able to pick your brain on the podcast and, of course, show the listeners the creativeness that the industry has. And I think you showcased that well, my friend. So
nice, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, let's dive into your background. What is your history like? What do you, I don't know, where did you get started, and how did treehouse building get into where you are today?
Nice, yeah, totally. That's probably the number one question I always get. You know, people are like, wait, what, you build treehouses? Like, how did you get into that? So my background is actually in furniture design. I went to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design for their furniture program. And, you know, my schooling was, you know, in depth on materials, whatever we designed or sketched up, like we would actually go and build it. So I got like deep into using all sorts of different materials and understanding material strength, materiality. And out of school, you know, I was super focused on, you know, just ethics of being a designer. What does that mean? You know, sustainable materials. What does it mean to be natural and live naturally as a human? And so kind of out of that thinking and simultaneously an opportunity with my dad moving to a new property, we were just kind of reminiscing about the treehouse that he had built for my sister and I growing up. And we're like, oh my gosh, how cool would it be to build a treehouse in one of these? He had an epic poplar tree in his front yard. And so, you know, it was from that I just, you know, kind of became enamored with this idea of like redesigning the treehouse and, you know, using lighter, you know, sustainable materials that could be recycled or decomposed and kind of like a modular type of concept. And so I built that treehouse in my dad's front yard, just on a shoestring, total shoestring budget. You know, I think like it was $3,000 and like $1,000 of it went to pay my rent or something. So that was a geodesic sphere treehouse, you know, kind of putting that, you know, concept that's existed, of course, for a very long time, but making it a full sphere and hanging it in a tree. Worked, you know, beautifully from an engineering standpoint, but it was also like, you know, a beautiful kind of hanging lantern type of effect. And from there, that's when I started O2 Treehouse. So that was like all the way back in 2006. And, you know, it's funny, like it's kind of come full circle in a way now with what we're doing with Tree Walkers, because the vision then was to create something, a treehouse that, could really flat pack and ship to different parts of the world for use in ecotourism, which I felt was an industry really worth like getting into and supporting, because ultimately it values the tree as a living object versus dead wood. And of course, there's the plus and minuses and different ways that, you know, the ecotourism model can be made unsustainable versus kind of more regenerative. But that was the vision. And, you know, from that point, I really just, you know, I launched O2 Treehouse and just started making custom treehouses. You know, I eventually moved out to California because that's where, you know, people are buying treehouses. So I was in Los Angeles for many years building custom treehouses there. And, you know, since that point, just, you know, growing it, you know, a passion project, really, you know, it's, building structures that are, you know, held up by a tree, you know, it's a nice statement that, you know, treehouses may not like save the world, of course, by any means, but it's kind of a poetic statement about, you know, a human kind of coexisting with nature, being held up, supported by a natural living specimen like a tree. And shoot, if you can keep that in balance, that relationship in balance, then, you know, it says something. It's a powerful statement. And so, you know, that and just like being outdoors and, you know, building these, you know, very actually quite furniture like creations. In the case of O2 Treehouse, we really build structures that are more sculptural in nature, I would say, versus like more of like a cabin floating in a tree out of timber. And that's been my passion as a designer as well, is just creating interesting forms and forms that really, you know, blend in with nature and, you know, take cues from each individual context to create something beautiful. And of course, you know, just totally stoke out kids and actually the parents too, you know, because they're actually wanting the treehouse like secretly.
It's what's happening. Yeah. Every adult's like, oh man, I can't believe my kid is making me do this. But then they're like, yeah, can you add this feature? Because I'm probably going to be in it longer than this.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a two-way street there.
Yeah.
So, and then, shoot, sorry, I don't know if I'm like taking forever on this answer, but.
I was going to ask going into So you started creating all these tree houses. You're doing this as a business now. What was the beginning moment when you had your first tree house that went on Airbnb? Because I know you guys have, is it called the Sphere or the Acorn?
The Pine Cone, yeah.
The Pine Cone. There we go. Yeah. So let's talk about the Pine Cone for a second, because cool. I've seen that whole thing, the whole listing. It looks great. It's incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, love the design. And so let's talk about how did you use this concept of building trees, creating something really beautiful and symbolic, to then thinking, okay, let's put it in the vacation rental market and see how this responds.
Yeah, nice. So I was actually contacted by Airbnb, and they were like, hey, would any of your past clients be interested in renting their houses up? Because Airbnb was experiencing extremely high booking rates for, you know, these unique type of treehouse structures. And so, you know, they actually had people in their offices going after treehouses, trying to get more treehouses online on the platform. And this is kind of earlier days of Airbnb, I guess. When was this, like, probably 2013 or something like that, maybe even earlier. And so, you know, very early on, I was seeing that as Airbnb was growing and people were creating all these amazing, you know, small structure creations, that kind of thing, unique stays. You know, I got my gears turning. I was like, oh, I got to do that. You know, I got to rent a structure out. And not only until many years later, you know, I was approached by a marketing agency, Ogilvy & Mather, to do a treehouse for a commercial for SC Johnson Wax. And they said, you know, they kind of gave me like full artistic direction. Said, just create some amazing floating crystalline type structure in the tree. They said, you know, we're going to give you a budget, but then, you know, we don't want the treehouse afterwards. You know, it's just like a prop for this commercial. You know, my jaw drops. Like,
yeah, it's the most expensive prop I've ever heard of.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, that's just a line item in your budget for a commercial? Wow, okay.
Yeah.
It was sweet, you know, but yeah, of course, we'll take it off your hands. And, you know, because of that dynamic of that project, I also invested into it greatly to make it what it was. You know, it was really a dream come true, because from the beginning of Ocho Treehouse, you know, one of my actually original sketches was to create a geodesic sphere floating in the redwoods, you know, huge, like, you know, 30 feet in diameter or something like that. And so this is the first project where I really got to realize that kind of vision at scale. You know, with pine cone trios is what I think 21 feet tall by 14 feet wide. Of course, then we had plans to rent it out on Airbnb. You know, once I knew that we would be owning it, and it's been a huge success, you know, ever since we got it on market. And it's, you know, it's constantly booked out. Like, people are always emailing like, oh, like, can you give me a date to, you know, book the pine cone? Like, you know, kind of fleeting. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. People are super enthusiastic about it, and it's really boosted the press for Ocho Treehouse as well, and got us a lot of other cool projects from it. So it's been a great thing.
Yeah. And so I guess, like, what is just a random question for you, the biggest, sure, like, one or two takeaways you've learned from stepping into the vacation rental industry with this treehouse?
Oh, wow. Good question. It's so critical to have reliable people doing your hosting and flipping. Yeah. That's the biggest takeaway for sure. You know, I'm actually partnered with the landowner on the project. And so we work together to host it. And you know, with the pine cone specifically, there's a lot of challenges, of course, that, you know, don't relate to a lot of other types of rentals. You know, like, we have to wash those windows at least once a year, because they just get full of dust, and it's in the forest.
Yeah, you know, plus whatever else is crawling around there.
You know? Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. You know, it's you know, heat was an issue, so we had to install like a lot of radiant heat panels on the interior. It's definitely been a learning curve. It's been perfect, however. It's really been, you know, the school of hard knocks for me, I would say, before, you know, getting into this Treewalkers business plan. But yeah, we have our system down now, and, you know, now that we've been renting it since 2018. And, you know, it's fun. It's a fun thing. Just, you know, I enjoy creating kind of an adventurous experience for people. You know, we haven't initiated it yet, but we want to do kind of like these, almost like an adventure menu inside the treehouse. And this is something that we're going to roll out with Treewalkers, where, you know, when you stay at one of our treehouse structures, it kind of comes with more than just the architectural piece, but comes with this activity or kind of programming piece where it's like, oh yeah, I went to a Treewalkers, and, you know, there's almost like going to a fine restaurant. There's, you know, like four menu items, and you can kind of pick, you know, pick an adventure, and it comes with, you know, a suitcase with, you know, curious objects that have something to do with your journey and that, you know, something like that. So,
yeah. We're another just random off the cuff question, but were you always like an adventurous kid? Like, were you kind of the kid that was always outside wanting to, like, you just seem, because like a lot of the listeners already know the destination air concept, and you and I have talked about it. People that are wired to create remarkable experiences. And I feel like you are that person that from day one, probably as a little kid, that you were just always out and about and interacting, and kind of, you just seem like you have that feel, because what you're describing is just, it's very, looks like it's just wired in you to be like that. So I'm kind of curious to like what your childhood was like.
Well, that's super funny. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, my friends are hardly ever surprised at like some of the situations I get into. So I think you probably got that right. But yeah, I don't know. My childhood was, actually it was full of building forts and treehouses, actually, I joke around that I went to, I went and paid for, you know, fancy design school. And then like when I got out, like I was doing the same thing that I was before, like growing up as a kid.
Yeah. See, exactly what I pictured. I just see you in the woods running around with sticks and leaves and just forming all sorts of stuff. And
totally. Yeah. That's what it was like. I mean, I was lucky to grow up with some woods, you know, behind our house. It's just like a suburban subdivision, but like my house had a bunch of woods behind it. So yeah, for sure. I was always like back there running around, like making trails and digging ponds and stuff like that. We made a bunch of, you know, forts on the ground. Like, you know, my dad was always very handy, so he had his workbench in the basement, you know, so I don't, yeah, I just, you know, came to, I've been like, I guess I was very tactile, you know, building stuff from like a very early age. And then like, as, you know, I grew older, like just a little bit older, you know, in the subdivision started meeting other kids and stuff. And then we built like, you know, neighborhood forts and, you know, and it's just, you know, it's not like a unique experience. Like, you know, many boys and girls do this kind of thing, but yeah, so that was my experience growing up. But, you know, it was my dad building us a treehouse actually that inspired a lot of it. I must have been like 10 or something like that.
Okay.
And he put a structure, and it was quite high, you know.
Yeah,
it was quite high in the tree, you know. It's like 15-20 feet up there, with like some kind of, you know, bare bones railing around it. So, you know, there's always been kind of like that spirit of adventure. My family, you know, we grew up climbing, rock climbing, that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, that's super cool and super unique. And so now the Pine Cone is based in the Redwoods, right? Or is that somewhere, is it somewhere else in California?
Yeah, so that's in the Redwoods. It's in Bonnie Dune, in just north of Santa Cruz. And yeah, hanging in between some giant coastal redwoods.
Okay. And so now I want to, let's dive into the dream and the vision of the Tree Walkers. So I've seen the sketches of what the structure will look like. It's kind of a tent teepee style, but also very, like we've kind of talked about, Ewok themed, very cool, very unique. But I want to kind of paint the picture for the audience on what went from O2 Treehouse, running the pine cone, creating tree houses for others and doing this, and then creating the Tree Walker brand, the franchise model, just like the, everything you've envisioned, right? I think there's a, right, there's probably a pivotal point that you're like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, you know, throughout the years with O2 Treehouse custom work, you know, many people from some really incredible, you know, tropical locations and, you know, destinations I'd be thrilled to visit have reached out and have been interested in hiring us to build structures. And oftentimes, you know, our California-based prices here and the cost of travel, et cetera, just it didn't end up being a fit. And so as this kind of list of different places grew, people that I was really thrilled to work with, but it wouldn't work out financially, you know, it got the gears turning and having me think about, you know, what kind of, you know, concept would work in this space that could be scalable, a structure that kind of will fit some of the challenges and dynamics of creating structures, you know, domestically, but all over the world as well, in different contexts and climates and that kind of thing. And so that idea was just, you know, just ruminating for many years, and it started to form. And actually, the business models had many different maturations. You know, it was going to be kind of a owner, like a kind of a cooperative model, you know, at one point, and, you know, which, you know, I love that idea. I love the spirit of that, and it has a lot of merits. Ultimately, we ended up at the franchise model because it could, you know, allow individuals to have a greater ownership, and, you know, feel, have a sense of independence and customization, but still take an idea, brand ethos of conservation, land, you know, ecology, that kind of thing, and scale that idea through this, you know, unified vernacular, you know, through the design of the actual structure.
Having a greater purpose than just tree houses, right? Like, tree houses are cool, but having a purpose that goes beyond that, like where you guys are actually being intentional with the environment and with using, you know, this type of material and all this other stuff that you guys are, that we've, you know, talked about off the scene.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Tree Walkers, you know, provides this incredible experience in different kind of contexts than most people typically experience nature, and lofted in a tree, you know, up amongst the branches and the canopy, to be able to sleep and hang out in that type of environment. It's amazing. It's really incredible. It's different than, you know, other types of, you know, being in your backyard or going on a hike. And I think, you know, for those that, you know, just go and climb a random tree, they know that. But for others that don't have the, you know, ease of getting out into a context like this, or just, it's just not second nature to them. Glamping, I feel like, is a platform which provides kind of that easy segue, you know, provides the comforts of home, but also, you know, gets you kind of exposed to nature in a camping kind of sense, of course. You know, I'm, you know, so there's that whole thing with just being in a treehouse. It's a special experience. You know, there's going up and getting elevated into the structure is a bit of a gateway in a way, kind of almost ceremonial, kind of like going into that space. And I think, and to your point that you're making, what Tree Walkers as a brand culture can represent as a whole is what really gets me fired up and excited. You know, It's, to pull a tagline from TED Talks, it's kind of like, I feel like it's an idea worth spreading. And that's why I was really all about scale from the beginning. Like, how can we create an idea that so many people can access and create for themselves and have it be all inclusive? And so I'm really, fired up to do all the other kind of programming type things they'll come along with, which will really be the perks of being part of the Tree Walkers network, which as a network owner, as a franchisee, we're going to have this pay a stay forward program so that owners can open their treehouse up to travelers or to other network members and gain essentially these credits that they can then take and, quote unquote, spend at another network location in some other part of the world. I feel like that part of Tree Walkers will really be one of the coolest values propositions to our franchisees is, it's about being part of this kind of club in a way. Yeah. Where it's like you can go and travel and, feel out all the different personalities of the Tree Walkers locations and the local materials and local goods that go into creating, making each Tree Walker location special. And shoot, I could go on. I mean,
I was gonna say it's like you're opening up a door of adventure to a whole new community of people that, especially with COVID going on, I think, going into a building, right, is a lot more, I guess, weary for a lot of people. But the adventure of driving, getting in your car or doing a small plane ride or whatever it may be and getting out and not being inside a four, wall building structure, being inside a tree, elevated, like you said, opening up the adventure, especially this is a brand I feel like is really resonating with the people that love adventure. They love being out. Kind of like you, when you're talking as a kid, like just building forts and just being out there, not just being cooped up inside the house, especially all of us are cooped up right now anyway. So I think it's just opening up that true sense of adventure and experience.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly it. And that's coming back around to this idea of having, an adventure menu. You know, when you get into your Tree Walkers treehouse, you probably chill out there for a while and hang out, maybe day two, you're like, oh, what's this adventure menu thing, And I think that the opportunity there is to create basically these, mystery paths where, there is this, we introduce this sense of discovery as part of being in this camping setting, in this natural setting, where, you pick like, it might be the ecology tour and, it takes you on a series of clues that really teach you about that specific ecology in that place that you are right now. Of course, ecologies are incredibly sensitive and dynamic and varied and diverse and all these types of things. Everything needs to work together in this beautiful harmony to continue to exist in harmony, right? And so I think that story isn't known by everybody. I think they feel like nature is incredibly robust and indestructible. But when you get down into the details, you understand the relationships between all those organisms in that forest, in that habitat. You realize how precious it is. And so, that experience, that knowledge is going to hopefully change your value of the environment and how you treat it and realize that, if you pollute it, just a couple, it's your package that you throw on the ground, or if you choose to drink that water bottle, that's going to end up in that natural environment. It's going to affect it in some way. So I think it's through experiences like glamping, that can hopefully, change the minds and the hearts of people, to put more of themselves behind solutions that we already have to solve a lot of these problems. But it's just the wherewithal and the intention that really, humanity needs to put behind them to carry them through, right? Mm-hmm. So in that way, I want to see glamping grow, responsibly, as much as I can be. And it's amazing right now during COVID because we're seeing that it is. So it's a really great time.
Yeah, it's definitely a sought out outlet medium segment of hospitality. I think your normal like business traveler or leisure traveler wouldn't think of, but now that they're stuck at home and they're trying to find any excuse to get out, and I guess that sense of adventure. You know, hotels are kind of closed and vacation rentals are booked depending on what, you know, location they're at. So glamping is becoming like that good little getaway that you don't really think is there, but it's there. And now everyone's kind of, I think, starting to pick up on that a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's super cool. It's really exciting.
Well, I was going to go into the segue of just, you guys recently launched on Startup Engine. And so walk me through, I guess, a quick summary, like the process of this, because, like you said, it's not all the things that you're talking about, building three houses and creating this brand and doing all this stuff. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. I can tell that you and your team have been hustling and bustling. I've, been watching you for a while. We've been introduced before this recording, and so it's just cool to see it come into fruition. But now that you guys are up on Start Engine, there's been some capital raise, there's been some much proven data now to show that people are wanting this type of experience and type of ownership and business out there. So what have you been seeing with that? Do you think maybe COVID is hindering it or helping it? What's kind of your insights on that whole startup side of the business?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely COVID is helping for sure. Okay. I mean, just in our custom business, like June, we saw a huge, spike in our leads that we were getting. And, so our business like nearly doubled because of COVID. So that's like we were talking about, just being reflected in how people are traveling and just going out, experiencing nature, because it's one of their only options, right? So with Start Engine, yes, we're raising private equity through an online public offering, Regulation A crowdfunding, with a platform called Start Engine. You can check out our page at startengine.com/02-treehouse. We launched about a week ago. We have a current goal to raise $250,000. However, if we break through that, then our next cap that we can raise with SEC regulations is up to $1,070,000. And thus far, I think we're nearly at $70,000 after a week. And we're all on cloud nine here, because it's incredible the response that we've gotten even before we even launched, like when we're kind of doing some of our grassroots pre-launch stuff, putting our renders out there, getting our website pages up. We had already started to see people coming to us, saying like, super enthusiastic, like, "Hey, we want to be a franchisee location. And like, tell me more about this." We've talked to a couple of national, glamping, camping brands. So we're in conversation with them. And now since we've launched, like I was, telling Will before we got on, I've got a list of people, probably, 90 people long, that, I need to reach out to, who are interested in investing or interested in becoming a franchisee location. And, if you see the campaign page, our strategy is basically to launch 20 locations in a pre-franchise model. Essentially, we're just getting you online with a structure and a franchise agreement, but they won't come with the franchise purchase fee or the franchise royalty fee, because we basically want to get these 20 locations online operating under the name Treewalkers. And to provide, of course, a precedent for the numbers, to provide a success story that we can then, show to our post 20 locations a real value to becoming part of the franchise. And you know, I would say that we're already, you know, have our 20 locations. Like, you know, we're not as far as we have, you know, like deposits and that kind of thing. It's kind of early in the game for that, but we have so much interest that I'm realizing it's not going to be a problem at all to fill those first 20 locations.
which is a great quote unquote problem to have, is it, you know,
right.
Thinking going into this, you're like, okay, we got to get 20 locations, and now you have a list of 90 plus people already. You're like, all right, well, either way, there goes that 20.
I know, it's incredible. I mean, it seemed like a big number before, mm-hmm. but I'm like, wow, this, people are enthusiastic about this. I feel like it's the right time just in the world generally, but also because of COVID, it's also kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are out of work and they have a backyard and has a tree in it. And they're like, it's a great way to make extra money. And people are still traveling now in that way locally.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking to people in other countries who want to represent the territory of those individual countries. And you know, like our ad spend and our return on ad spend is very high, very good. So we're on a good trajectory. I feel confident. So,
yeah. So let's say for the listeners out there, I guess what is more, obviously I'm going to link everything in the show notes, O2 Treehouse, Tree Walkers, your start engine link, everything, nice. Get you guys out there. But, I guess for the listeners, what is the best way if they, it's not like you need more leads or any like 90 calls plus, but if anyone were to want to get in contact with you to start this process, to either become a franchise or a location, what's the best way for them to go?
Absolutely. Good question. So you can go to the Start Engine page. You can reach out to us there. You can reach out to us at www.treewalkers.world and sign up there. You know, I guess I don't want to dilute this with all the different ways, but you know, if you prefer to reach out to us on Instagram, we're on Instagram. So whatever is easiest for you, or just go to our website to o2treehouse.com, and there's a splash page set up there specifically for Tree Walkers. And sign up, give us your email address, and we'll be in touch, basically.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, if you had to leave the listeners with one final note, what would it be? Anything. It could be random. It could be funny. It could be, you name it.
Wow. One thing to, I would say that, the Ewok dream has arrived, people.
Yes.
So become part of Tree Walkers, you know, join the Tree Walkers club, you know, we're going to have a ton of fun and we're going to build a world community here.
That's awesome. That's a great way to end it. I love it.
Nice.
Well, my man, thank you again for just joining me on the podcast. Thank you for bringing your knowledge and your experience and just the overall adventure to the show, to the audience, to the world, to the industry. It's amazing to see. I'm excited to keep talking to you after this and figure out, you know, more ways to show you guys off and what all you're doing. So thank you again.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. I really appreciate the opportunity and love what you're doing.
Thank you so much for listening. We love your support and want to provide the best we can to all our listeners. So please find us online, social media, and on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast.
What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast, then you are amazing and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast.